The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Daft have their latest rental report out today. No surprise, it shows continued upward pressure. So we're closing in on €2,000 a month being the national average. We're just shy of that, but within a month or two, one would suspect if trends continue, we will surpass it. Nisha O'Fuegan is with me, Dublin-based renter and representative for the Tenants Union CATU CATU. And Nisha, you're very welcome to the show.
Talk
me through some of the experiences you've had as a renter over the last number of years.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me on, Kieran. Just, I suppose, on an individual level, going back over the years, I was living in an apartment in the city centre between 2014 and 2018. Was very happy there. I'd still be there now if I could be. I was evicted from that place on the basis of substantial renovation, which, I mean, this was a building that at the time was only about 20 years old anyway, so you'd have to question the legitimacy of that. The rent we were paying, there was three of us living there at the time, we were paying $1,500 a month together. By the time the so-called renovation took place, the market rent then on the apartment was $3,400. So you can obviously see what the motivation was behind that. Fast forward then, I lived somewhere else in Dublin 7, was there for about a year before it was got the eviction notice that it was to be sold. I ended up basically moving to Belfast for about a year because just there was nothing happening in Dublin. And from Dublin, you know, had no desire really to move away, but there was no alternative, so ended up in Belfast for about a year, and I'm back now in Dublin about 18 months, but I'm paying €1,350 to live in this very small place on my own, which is, you know, more than 50% of my income. So, you know, not the most sustainable situation, to say the least.
And I mean, it probably makes savings relatively impossible to address or to build up anything in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I had any desire to buy a house, like, I'm 33 now, it's just not happening. It's not happening anytime soon because, you know, any kind of income that I have, really, it's between rent and bills and, you know, paying for food and all the rest of it. There's pretty much nothing left, you know.
And any improvement, like, in terms of availability or market prices over the last couple of years with more stuff being built?
No, I mean, there's no sense of that so far. I mean, even like you referenced that DAF report there a few minutes ago. I mean, the average price is just tipping upwards and upwards. As you say, it's, you know, just around the €2,000 mark nationally now. I think it's around €2,400 in Dublin city centre. You know, it's completely out of control, and there's no indication, certainly from just myself or the organisation CATU that I'm involved in, like, we're not seeing any sign of things becoming any easier anytime soon.
Marion Finnegan is with us as well, Nisha, Managing Director of Sherry Fitzgerald. Marion, what movement have you guys seen in this market, say, over the last couple of years?
It's very evident in the wider marketplace. So over the last, I'd say, 8 years, there's been a very significant contraction in the stock of available accommodation to rent. And in that scenario, we have seen very significant upward pressure on rent. So what we're really seeing is a lot of what Nisha's just described, landlords leaving the marketplace in their thousands every year and not being replaced by new landlords. The natural cycle would be, of course, a landlord can leave, but there would be a replacement where new landlords would come in. The kind of the average figures at the moment is that there are three landlords leaving the market every year for every one new landlord that comes in. So that's simply not sustainable, particularly given the level of very strong migration and very strong population growth just driving the demand for accommodation.
Now, it might be sustainable if those landlords were, you know, single home landlords, if that, you know, they only own kind of one property or two and the landlord's coming in on multiple properties. I mean, is there evidence of that?
Well, obviously, that was the aspiration or the hope with the development of what was referred to as either the build-to-rent sector or the PRS sector, depends on which it was referred to. So that would have been where we saw large-scale landlords coming in and developing accommodation for the private rental sector. Unfortunately, with the interest rate cycle over the last 18 months or so, we've seen much less evidence of that in the marketplace. And the private landlords, which are kind of the bread and butter, if you like, of the rental market, continue to exit. So we're not replacing individual landlords with this large bulk landlord anymore, which is proving to be a big challenge.
And I mean, what's your sense then of whether we've allowed enough time for kind of new market conditions or new regulations to bed in and have impact. Because, you know, I know often the complaint from landlords, and we're going to speak to a landlord in just a moment, is that there's kind of continued tweaking of regulations. And this is often, say, the criticism from the big landlords, the big institutional investors. We don't want to invest because you keep changing the rules.
And I think it's a fair criticism. We have had an awful lot of changes to the rental market and tweaking of the rules and adjustments and different taxes for landlords of all sizes. And that's proved to be a disincentive. If people aren't certain where they're going to be in terms of a taxation structure in a year or 2 years time, then they're less enticed into a marketplace. And it's really important that we create stability, but perhaps more than stability. We need to be inventive in what we think, what we do to encourage existing landlords to remain and new landlords to enter the marketplace, and also not to be overly focused on just one solution. So the PRS or the build to rent solution is a huge part of the recovery of this sector. But we're a sparsely populated country. We need private landlords as well. The larger scale PRS or build to rent investors will not build in every corner of Ireland. So we do need the private individuals involved as well.
If you want to bring rents down, says Brian, then Airbnb needs to be banned. This will release hundreds of properties back into the rental market. Somebody else says rents are crippling people. Landlords are allowed to increase rents no matter if tenants' income has increased or not. Tenants' protection in Ireland is some of the worst in Europe, and the numbers of families and people becoming homeless every month shows it. And somebody else says, me and my partner pay over €1,800 a month for a one-bed flat, and it's going up. Rents need to be tied to income. As a young public servant, this government has totally abandoned the country on housing. We need rent controls and public housing built en masse, just like the post-tenement era where renters got organised. And I know it might make sense to people to kind of tie rents to income, but I wouldn't. One of the consequences of that is if you were a landlord, you wouldn't be renting to anybody below a certain income. I mean, rental properties would suddenly only become available to high earners. But James Murphy is with me, who's a landlord in County Meath. James, I mean, from a landlord's point of view, how would you describe the state of the market?
Well, I mean, I have to say the state, the rent is very, very high. But then so is interest rates. So anyone buying a house to rent with the mortgage rates now, they would have to be paying that kind of money or renting it for that kind of money to actually make ends meet. Between taxation and everything else, you know, it's just very, very difficult, so it is.
What would make it easier for yourself then, James, or other landlords that you know, so that they might stay in the market and they might stay in the market and not increase rents to a level that is kind of unsustainable for the tenants to pay?
Well, I have to say that idea where if your landlord only charges under €1,000, he doesn't have to pay any rent. Because, I mean, 50 to 60% of your rent goes in tax, and that's as simple as that. And I also, I've often said before, is that if a tenant is paying rent, he should be able to claim it against his tax. We're paying tax on his income, on our income from him. So he should be able to claim the tax back. That might also help. You know, you had the €500 allowance there for people who are renting last year. Sometimes I know one person who got very, very difficult to get that 1,000 or that 500. Very difficult. And I was talking to him the other day, and I don't know whether he even got it or not for some reason. I don't know, some hiccup somewhere. He had all the information from the landlord and still couldn't get it. So there's something wrong somewhere.
And how would you then, James, assess the kind of the different interventions that have been trialled over the last number of years by successive governments?
Well, I mean, first of all, you're talking about the rent cap scheme, which really didn't really work. I don't think it did, for the very simple reason that no one is going to rent a house under what they're paying on the mortgage. Simple as that. It doesn't work that way. It's not St. Vincent de Paul. A landlord has to make a few bob to maintain the house, because every now and again you're going to get a phone call that the fridge is broken or the cooker's gone or something wrong. And that all costs money, as we all know. And the landlord then has to come up with the money to do that, to repair that or replace that. And he needs a proper income from it. I mean, it is a kind of a business. Okay, maybe it's a business. It's a small business, but it's a business. Mm. And people then should, as I said to you, I don't mind paying tax on what I get. But the renters, the rentees should get tax allowance on that. And I've said that 101 times, and it doesn't land on anyone's ears. So it doesn't. And as for the PRTB, which it, in fairness, it's a pet of mine. I mean, I think they're about as useless as an ashtray and a Honda 50. You know, they're absolutely useless, especially on the landlord's side. You know, and now we hear someone, TDI, didn't actually get his name, is going to make it harder for a landlord to try and get his property back. You know, and that's wonderful news, isn't it? You mean, I might as well give him the bloody house, you know?
Nisha Fuegon is still with us. Nisha, from your point of view, from a tenant's point of view, I mean, beyond there being far more houses available to rent at a much more reasonable price, what could any incoming government do in the short term? Say with tax, for example, or with additional credits, or with a more robust kind of HAP payment available to more people. I don't know. Maybe you've thought about this. What would you like?
Just one quick thing to come as well in here on your other guest there mentioned a decline, excuse me, in the number of landlords in the market. But there was an RTB report came out in August this year that indicated the number of private registered landlords was actually increased by 7% between, I think it was the summer of last year and March this year. So it's kind of, I suppose, contradicting stats on that point. But I suppose in terms of what can happen next, one thing, like we, in CATI, the organisation that I represent, like one thing we'd really be pushing for, there's something in the region of 200,000 vacant properties in the south of Ireland. I mean, that's just an incredible amount of vacancy and dereliction. That doesn't need to be the case. You know, if county councils were given the resources to be able to compulsory purchase order buildings, like that would activate a lot more availability for people. We would also definitely advocate a lot more public housing needs to be built on public land. We've seen situations like O'Devany Gardens in Dublin, which is very close to where I live, which is this incredible situation where you have public land which is sold to a private developer, who then sells the properties back to the council, which is just, you know, extraordinary kind of situation. So like public housing and public land definitely needs to happen. That would take a lot off the council waiting list, for example, and the vacancy and dereliction is a huge piece as well.
Nisha O'Fagan is a Dublin-based renter representative of CATU, the Tenants Union. Marion Finnegan is the Managing Director of Sherry Fitzgerald, and James Murphy is a landlord in County Meath. Thank you all very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.